finally the government is upon his shoulders. Amen. Oh, what a day it's going to be when man reigns ends upon this planet and Jesus reigns forever and ever. What a day. Oh, listen, in that day, the entire world, everyone on earth.
Why do you run from me?
Are you running from the love of God? God's love never fails. Welcome to Love Never Fails, the radio ministry of Calvary Chapel, Fort Worth, with Pastor Bill Quinn. Well, happy Friday and welcome. Today on Love Never Fails, Pastor Bill continues his series from the book of Revelation with the conclusion to the message, The Sealed and Saved. Now here's Pastor.
All the tribes of the children of Israel. So these are all Jews. Do you understand? They are Jews. And Israel will go through the great tribulation period. But it says they were what? Sealed. Again, they were made secure. And that's the main point of the sealing, all right? It says of the tribe of Judah. And forgive me, I'm just going to read the tribes. So look at them. Judah, Reuben, Gad, Asher, Manasseh, Simeon, Levi, Issachar, Zebulun, Joseph, Benjamin, of the 12,000 were sealed. So there's something here that's amiss. It's not wrong, but it's just amiss. And that there are two tribes from past history of the Jewish history, and they're not listed in this context, and that's Ephraim and Dan. Now, this is a whole nother sermon. So I just put a little bit of note down. I want to make sure I read it correctly because this is something that I don't study out that deeply because I just know it to be true. Is that okay? Okay. So the Bible lists the 12 tribes of Israel 29 times in the Bible, okay? The first appearance of that is in Genesis 35, verses 22 through 26. The second listing of the 12 tribes of Israel, Genesis 49, 3 through 28. Now, I want you to listen very carefully. At the end of the tribulation period, at the second coming of Christ, the millennial kingdom, you know, I encourage you today, and I really sincerely mean this, read Ezekiel, the prophet Ezekiel, chapter 40, and it goes to 48, I believe. It's all about the millennial temple. It is unbelievable. You cannot even imagine how huge this temple is. It's going to be built, yes, where? On the Temple Mount. But, you know, when the Lord returns and he puts his foot down on the Mount of Olives, is there going to be an earthquake? Man, all the geographic landscape of Israel, where the temple is and all that, it's all going to be changed. It's going to be flattened. And if you study out Ezekiel, you'll find that this temple, not only is it over the top beautiful, it is gigantic. I mean, it's unbelievable. And it could never be built unless all that was leveled out. It's just unbelievable to just go through that. But here's the thing. At the end of the tribulation period, at the second coming, the millennial kingdom, this temple, the millennial temple is there. In Ezekiel chapter 48, verses 3 through 34, we find the last and final list of the 12 tribes of Israel, okay? Now, and Dan, like I just said, was absent from chapter 7 that we're reading, okay? But the one in Ezekiel is identical to the first listing found in Genesis, with the tribes are in perfect order. So you say, well, Bill, why was Dan omitted? Why was Ephraim not included? And yet in Ezekiel 48, you find Ephraim in the mix. Why? I don't know. Except I believe the answer is found is because those two tribes led the children of Israel into idolatry, okay, in the Old Covenant. Now, let me give you the scriptures. In Judges 18:30, it says, the children of Dan, well, they set up themselves the carved images. In other words, remember the two golden calves? They set one up in Dan and the other one in Bethel, in the land of Ephraim. Okay? Now, and then in Hosea 4:17, it says Ephraim, now that was the northern kingdom, Ephraim joined to idols. God says, leave them alone. Now, let me tell you why I think they're omitted from God's law, the law of Moses. Let me read it to you. Deuteronomy 29:18-21. So that there may not be among you man or woman, family or tribe, that turns his heart away from the Lord and serves other gods or the gods of the nations. And the Lord would separate him from him all the tribes of Israel for adversity. In other words, if any tribe that turned from God to worship an idol, he says, you're going to go through it. Now, that meant that the tribe of Dan and Ephraim, they're going to go through the great tribulation period because they're not listed here. They won't be protected. But in Ezekiel chapter 48, Dan and Ephraim share in the millennial, the thousand-year reign of Christ, and all of the blessings. You say, well, Bill, that's confusing, isn't it? I don't understand all of this, but this much is clear. Loved one, the church is not Israel, and Israel is not the church. Amen? This is future. God's word says 12 tribes. He didn't say the lost tribes of Israel. You know, where are they? God knows where they, all of them are. And listen, Israel will outlast every nation on earth. If Jerusalem, if Israel's not there, how can the second coming take place? Amen? The Mount of Olives, it's got to be there, loved one. It's the most important nation on earth. Now, so how successful were the 144,000 Jewish evangelists? They brought about a worldwide revival. Look at verse 9. Now, the second people group here, watch this. After these things, I looked, and behold, a great multitude, which no one could number, and look where they're from, of all nations and tribes and peoples and tongues, and they were standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes, that speaks of the righteousness of Christ, with palm branches in their hands, speaks of the victory that they have. And they were crying out with a loud voice, saying, oh, salvation belongs to our God, who sits on the throne, and to the Lamb. The Lamb is the one who paid for our salvation. Amen? And salvation belongs to God our Father and to Jesus Christ. There is no salvation in any other. Amen? All right. So this second people group, man, the greatest revival in history, they came out of all the nations. You couldn't even number them. And they came to Christ during the worst period in human history. Now, there are those that love the Lord, and they're great scholars, and they're going to be in heaven. But they teach that the rapture of the church cannot occur because the gospel of Jesus Christ must be first preached to every nation on earth, and then the end will come. Okay? And they cite what Jesus said in Matthew 24:14. Jesus said this, and this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world as a witness to all the nations, and then the end will come. Well, listen, the church, we're not fulfilling that obligation. Isn't that sad? But the Jews will. The 144,000, they will fulfill the prophecy of Jesus Christ. They will. To the Jew first, then to the Gentile. Amen? Now, listen to me carefully. If the whole world needed to hear the gospel before the rapture, why in the world there'd be no need for 144,000 Jewish evangelists? Amen? But God in his incredible grace, that's what he did. He wants everyone saved, even in the great tribulation people, whoever will turn to him. And not only that, loved one, in his unbelievable grace and his mercy and his love, you know what he did? He even chose a flying angel in the heavens. That's his pulpit. Can you imagine this? And he's preaching to all of the world. Let me give you the scripture. He's preaching the good news. Revelation 14:6. And then John says, I saw another angel flying. Would that be cool to see that? Yes. I mean, well, never mind. That's how messed up I am this morning. It says, another angel flying in the midst of heaven. And listen to what he had. Having the everlasting gospel. And what did he do with it? He says, to preach it. Preach it to whom? To those who dwell on the earth. Now listen carefully. To every nation, to every tribe, to every tongue, to every people, saying with a loud voice, fear God. Give him glory. For the hour of his judgment has come. Worship him who made heaven and earth. So God uses 144,000 Jewish evangelists, and then he's going to make sure another movement of grace and love on his part. He sends that angel flying to every person. Every person on earth is going to hear that. Well, what kind of God do we serve? Now look at verse 11. And all the angels stood around the throne, and the elders, now remember the 24 elders, that's the church seated in heaven, and the elders and the four living creatures fell on their faces before the throne and worshiped God, saying, Amen, blessing, glory, and wisdom, thanksgiving, and honor, and power, and might. So that sevenfold blessing they spoke out. Seven means completeness, the complete blessing, and so forth. It says, be to our God forever and ever, amen. And then, watch one of the church members, probably a Baptist, watch this. I'm teasing, we love Baptists. I got to quit saying that, you know what? I need another denomination. You know, they're going to really think I don't like them, but I love them. Then one of the elders, that's the church, the member of the church, okay? One of the elders answered, saying to me, speaking to John, well, who are these arrayed in white robes? And where did they come from? Well, they didn't have palm branches. That means that they are new arrivals in heaven, okay, that came out of the great tribulation period. So the elders question. Now, he's not seeking knowledge. He knows. He's trying to teach a fact to John. John, who are these countless people that you cannot number here and standing in white robes? Where in the world did they come from? And look what John says, verse 14. And I said to him, well, sir, you know. Isn't that pretty cool? You trying to put something off on me? I mean, I need a little bit more revelation about this. And so he said to me, these are the ones who come out of what? The great tribulations and washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. These are those who came to faith in Christ during the great tribulation period after the rapture of the church who is already in heaven. Now, I want you to notice that the word the tribulation, okay? The is specific. Now, so it's a specific time. You could literally, it would read this way. The tribulation, the great one. So it speaks there, expresses a specific time. And these are not the saints of all the ages that I just read to you. These are people, these are tribulation believers. They came to Christ. So this is a future event, a specific time in history. We know what it is. Jesus told us about the time that would come upon this planet, the great tribulation period. So these are the ones who come out of the great tribulation period, which is the last great revival on earth. So many of those, they're going to die for their faith. They're going to suffer greatly. They're not going to take the mark of the beast. And if you don't have the mark of the beast, you can't buy, you can't sell, you can't do anything. Amen? And so they suffered death. But it says, remember the last part there, but they washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. You know, Revelation 12:11 says this, and they overcame him, meaning Satan, the accuser of the brethren. They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, they did not love their lives unto death. Now, when the tribulation ends, who's really going to be standing? Let me read it to you. I told you I'd come back to Revelation 14:1. Let me read it to you again. At the end of the tribulation period now, John says, and then I looked and behold, a Lamb, that's the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And listen to where he was standing. He was standing on Mount Zion. You know, Psalm, I don't know what it is, Psalm 43 or something. It says, Mount Zion, the joy of the whole earth. Amen? The joy of the whole earth. In, or Jerusalem, the city of truth, it says in Zechariah 8:3. So they were standing on Mount Zion, and with the Lamb, with Jesus, watch this, 144,000. And who were they? Having his Father's name written on their foreheads. Do you know that the 144,000 that are on the earth, they will witness the second coming. They will witness the heavens rolling back like a scroll. They will enter the millennial reign. Man, what a day that is going to be, loved one. And I heard a voice from heaven like the voice of many waters and like the voice of the loud thunder. And I heard the sound of harpists playing their harps. Now watch this. And they sang a new song before the throne, before the living creatures and before the elders, meaning the church. Now look at this. No one could learn that song except the 144,000 Jewish evangelists from every tribe who were redeemed from the earth, meaning purchased to enter into the thousand-year reign of Christ on this planet. It says, these are the ones who were not defiled with women, for they are virgins. I take that to mean idolatry, spiritual fornication. They were so far removed from that. These are the ones who follow the Lamb wherever he goes. They were redeemed from among men, being the first fruits to God and to the Lamb. Remember, the first fruits was considered the finest, right? And so there they are. They're saved during the great tribulation, and more is going to be saved. But look at verse 15. Therefore they, these tribulation saints, they are before the throne of God. They're right there. Like God is rewarding them and blessing them. They came out of that great tribulation period, that intimacy before the Lord. And they're before the throne of God. And look what they do. They serve him day and night in his temple. And he sits on the throne. He who sits on the throne will dwell, or literally he will live among them. So those who come out of the great tribulation period, they have a different ministry than the church that's already in heaven, okay? And it says the day and night. Now listen carefully. The reason I know that this is earth in the millennial reign is because there is no night in heaven. It says day and night. Loved one, Revelation 21, I don't know, 25 or something in there, or verse 5, I don't know, it's in 21. There is no night. Amen? It's one continuous day because the Lamb is its light. Amen? So this is, here is Ezekiel's incredible millennial temple, okay? And in Revelation 20, verse 4, about them, listen to what it says about them. John says, and I saw the souls of those who had been beheaded for their witness to Jesus, the Word of God, who had not worshiped the beast or his image, that had not received the mark on their foreheads or their hands. They lived and reigned with Christ for 1,000 years. These are the tribulation believers who came to Christ and now they're serving the Lord in the thousand year or the millennial reign of Christ, the kingdom age, if you will. Now look at verse 16. And they shall neither hunger anymore, which means, again, they couldn't buy with the mark or anything, sell. So they were hungry or thirst anymore. For the sun shall not strike them, nor any heat. For the Lamb who is in the midst of the throne, look what he will do to them. He will shepherd or feed them, and he will lead them to living waters. Where? I'll tell you in a moment. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. Oh, Jesus, he's a good shepherd, isn't he? He's the great shepherd. He's the chief shepherd. One day we'll be with him. This happens at the second coming. Let me read it to you. Zechariah 14:8. And in that day, it shall be that the living waters, remember I said the living fountain of waters in verse 16 and 17 there, that the living waters shall flow from Jerusalem, half of them toward the eastern sea, that would be the Dead Sea, and half of them toward the western sea, that would be the Mediterranean. And in both summer and winter, it shall occur. Loved one, that's literal. That's not symbolic. The millennial temple in Jerusalem will be, it's not only incredible, it's awesome. It is the capital of the entire earth. Jesus is on the throne of David. Amen. He is the son of David. Boy, he fulfills all the promises of God. And it says in Zechariah 14:9, and the Lord shall be king over all the earth. The Lord, the name above every name. Jesus is going to be king over all the earth. In that day, meaning the millennial reign, the 1,000-year reign of Christ. And he says, and it shall be, the Lord is one. And he's going, preach it, Bill. And he says, and his name shall be one. So what does that mean? Finally, at last, man is no longer ruling. But finally, the government is upon his shoulders. Amen. Oh, what a day it's going to be when man reigns, ends upon this planet, and Jesus reigns forever and ever. What a day. Oh, listen, in that day, the entire world, everyone on earth, that's when the Matthew 25, the sheep and the goat judgment take place. Those who were for Israel and those who were not. Oh, listen, that's that day the whole world will recognize Jesus. He really is the Lord of Lords. He really is the King. And they'll also realize there's really just only one God. Amen. It's going to be a great day. And think about it. Jesus is now King over all the earth, but there was a man on this earth. He may be alive right now. And he sold his soul to the devil so he could be King over all the earth. But he didn't make it. And he's going to end up in the lake of fire, which is hell, eternal hell, Gehenna, forever and ever and ever. No, the last revival, the greatest harvest of all in the history of all mankind. Oh, what a great day that's going to be. We began our study with Revelation chapter 6, verse 17. For the great day of his wrath has come. Who is able to stand? Well, we found out, right? Only those that are in Christ Jesus, only those and no one else. If you're not in Christ, you're not going to stand. You're not going to make it. Jesus is the only way. He is the only answer. There is no other way to heaven. There is no other way to be saved and except through Christ Jesus our Lord. Jesus told us, you must be born again. You cannot enter heaven if you're not. You can't even see the kingdom. You'll miss all of that. I know in the early service, loved one, that most of us, probably all of us, are saved this morning. But maybe there's someone here that's not. And I just fed you, and now I want to fish. Is that okay? Yes. As our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. If you're here this morning, maybe you're visiting, maybe you're listening live, I don't know. But you have never really, I'm talking about really, said, Jesus, be the Lord of my life. Come and live in my heart. Forgive me and cleanse me. I want to belong to you and only you. If you've never done that, you can do it right now. Why wait if you're not saved? Come to him this moment. You say, Bill, how? You don't have to get out of the chair or any of those. Just lift your hand and say, Bill, I want that. I want you to pray for me. I want Jesus to be my Lord. You lift it up high where I can see it, and then you put it right back down. Anyone at all in this early service? I don't see anyone. Well, I thank God for that. Maybe you're listening live and you say, Bill, I want that. Or you're listening on the radio. Well, then right now just say, Jesus, be my Lord. Come into my heart. Save me. If you'll believe that, he will, because he loves you and he died for you. Lord, thank you for today. There's just no one like you. Your word, there's nothing like your word. Nothing. There's nothing on earth like your word, Lord, and how good it is. Bless your people today, Lord. And the church says, amen. Amen. God is good. Let's stand to our feet, shall we?
Pastor Bill's series continues on Monday, and we look forward to seeing you once again. We appreciate you listening today. And until next time, may the Lord bless you. Good day, everyone. If you'd like more information regarding Calvary Chapel Fort Worth, Love Never Fails International, or the Love Never Fails radio broadcast, please visit our website at ccfortworth.org or download the CCFW app. Pastor Bill would also like to personally invite you to join us for any of our three services here at Calvary Chapel Fort Worth. For service times and directions, please visit ccfortworth.org or call our toll-free number, 866-729-1999. That's 866-729-1999. If you're unable to worship with us in person, our live streaming allows you to join us virtually via the CCFW app, Apple TV, Facebook, YouTube, or our Roku channel. So, until our next broadcast, may we encourage you with these words. Love bears, believes, hopes, and endures all things. Love never fails.